stand up to teach God's word. Now are we okay? Okay. Well, good morning. Becca did a wonderful job getting us ready to hear God's word. Those songs weren't so that's better. Okay. Well, this morning, as Rebecca said, our theme verse is Matthew 6:33, and it's so important, as we see throughout God's word, that we need to seek an intimate relationship with him. One of my favorite verses of all time is John 17:3, and I think Michael likes this too. Says that this is eternal life, that you might know me, the one true God, and his son. That we have an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father and with our Lord Jesus Christ. But to have an intimate relationship with someone, you have to spend time. And we're going to look at how do we seek God in our fellowship this morning. Growing in the knowledge of who God is and seeking intimate fellowship is vital, a great vital necessity. It's as much importance as breathing, drinking water, eating food. It is, he is our sustenance. But there's many distractions we deal with in this world, and that's why we have to seek him hour after hour. And we'll see that it's not hard to find him. Let's look at the theme verse, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not the world's righteousness. We can't ever prove ourselves right with the world. And all these things shall be added unto you. Well, I have a question for you. What's the first word of this verse? Anybody have the answer? It's but. And that but is a, it is bringing us back to the preceding verses that we're not to worry. We're not to have be afraid of anything because our Father knows every need that we have. But we seek him first, and everything else will be added unto us. Not subtracted, because we've done anything. He adds it all to us. And so some of the things that he, some of the things that we don't have to be concerned about is worry and fear. Perfect love casts out fear. What does Philippians say? Be anxious or worry about nothing. But what are we supposed to do? I love these buts. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. There's always an alternative to what the world has to offer. That fear is not ever an alternative to love. Seek is a strong word. It means to aim at, to crave, to pursue, go after something with all your might. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the first thing we look for. Now, I love first. You know, first birthdays, first everything, first anniversary. Those are wonderful things because you look back and look at all what you've been through. But we look back and see what our Heavenly Father has done for us. We'll never look other places because we keep remembering. He says, forget not all of his benefits. Well, it's important that we do these things. But we have to have a knowledge of his word. Many want to know God but are not willing to lay aside other things of this world in order to have a relationship with him. You know, our, a lot of things that we have that are distractions. But we need to aim at, crave, just crave. Boy, when you read God's word, it says, it's, thy words were found and I did eat them and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Sometimes maybe we need to develop an appetite for it and less appetite on other things. Seeking the Lord is not like the game of hide and seek, as Rebecca had mentioned. which was first started with Adam and Eve. They hid from God. He went and found them, and he clothed them and provided for them. Seeking the Lord is the reality of renewing our minds that our Abba Father is ever present and we acknowledge him, putting away the things that are distracting us and paying attention to his presence in everything that we do. And I'm going to read that again, share that again. Seeking the Lord is the reality of seeking the Lord is renewing our minds. That means changing the thoughts in our minds to how God wants us to think. That our Abba is ever present. Sometimes we think, God, where are you? Well, he's ever present. We need to change our minds to think that. Because we don't ever want to think we're alone. Because we're never alone. He made it sure of that. Ever present, and we acknowledge him. Putting away the things that are distracting us and paying close attention to his presence in everything that we do. So when we go to the office, he's coming with us. When we go to the park, he's coming with us. When we go to the grocery store, and you know what he's doing? He's directing our steps. But we have to allow that to happen. He's running after us, as the song goes. His goodness is running after us. Well, slow down. Let him catch up with us. We can't do it on our own. I don't care if you're an Ironman. You run 110 miles. You're running with him. So don't ever forget that. Anything you're doing, he's with you, providing for you. Jeremiah 29:11-13, you can turn to that if you'd like. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." God is never far from us. His unfailing love never runs out. We want to keep our Heavenly Father as our home base in the game of hide and seek, our home base, keeping him always in our sights. Only fear will hold us back, but perfect love casts out fear, right? Lamentations, which is the book right after Jeremiah, says in chapters 3, verses 25 through 26, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. So it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5 said, and this is David saying, writing by revelation from God, "One thing I have desired of the Lord." I love these where it points out one thing first, all these, because God's telling us exactly what to do. You know, when we have children, we tell them what expect them to do. We want to give them direction. "One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold or to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." David wanted it. The greatest thing that he wanted was to seek the Lord, to have the Lord in his presence. And he was a man after God's own heart. God truly loved him. And he made mistakes, but that's okay. We all do. Today, we are the habitation of the Lord. We don't have to seek to be in his pavilion. We are his habitation through the Spirit. We are his dwelling place. We have one thing David desired and sought after. We have it. We are children of God. That seed will never be replaced or taken away. Psalm 34, verses 8 through 10 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him, who finds refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints," and fear means respect. "There is no want to those who respect him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Those that seek the Lord shall never lack any good thing. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Our relationship with our Heavenly Father is the greatest thing that we can have. We have to seek Him, be a part of that, because He's right there, willing and able to be found. God desires for us to live with joy, to be permanently, consistently satisfied. You know, and that, it's not like, well, today was a good day, but I don't know about tomorrow. We don't worry about tomorrow. But today is a good day, tomorrow is going to be a good day. He wants us to have consistency. That's why He's not in and out, choosing His dwelling somewhere else. He's right there. He chose each one of us. He loves each one of us as if we were the only children He had. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. How precious our lives are. He chose us before the foundation of the world. I think about, you go in a fancy grocery store and all their apples are shined up, all their fruits all shined up. Someone has a duty of dusting all the everything to make them look good. Well, we were dusted off in the very beginning and looked great before God. He chose each one of us. You know, sometimes we just have to put mental pictures in our mind. And that's what the Word does. There's so many examples of people that live the Word that we can see ourselves in that, right? The Bible teaches us that we, not God, determine our level of intimacy with Him. God doesn't determine. Well, He has determined. He's put Himself in us. So our decision is, do we want to fellowship with Him? Do we want to take advantage of who our lives are all about? We are children of God, of the Most High God. He created us just to love us. He put that perfect love in us so that we could love one another as we loved ourselves. We have to love ourselves as well. And why not? We are privileged people. We're peculiar people. I love that word. That peculiar means we were bought with a price. I like the word, even peculiar. We are different. Each one of us are different. None of us are a cookie cutter of each other. I like being different, peculiar. He just wants us to be close to Him. To experience intimacy with God is a matter of time. It is easy to use the excuse, well, I'm too busy. I have so many things to do. I used to be a multitasker, and I've been reformed. Now I'm trying to do my best at one thing at a time, because each thing that we do deserves our attention. And the first thing that I want to do is to put God first and not have all these other things. So I turn off my cell phone. I turn off everything so that I can direct my thoughts towards Him. We have to put Him into our schedule. We need Him to treat our relationship with Him as a vital necessity of our lives. Do you know how many times a day our Heavenly Father thinks about us? A lot. Well, Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18 says, "How precious also are thy thoughts toward me, O God. How great is the sum of them." And being an accountant, I always like words like sum. Count them up. "If I should count them, they are more in numbers than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." Our Heavenly Father thinks about us all the time. Can we return those thoughts to Him? Is there anything more delightful in life than His presence? No. And life has become so much more simpler when we know who we are. We know who God is. When I was growing up, I knew who God was. I knew who all the saints and everybody else were, but I had no idea who Jesus Christ was. So I missed out on that understanding, and understanding that a price was paid for my life. But when you know those things, then we just grab onto them and form our lives around them. We just can't live without God. Amen? Is there an amen for that? The quality of our life is greatly affected by the time we spend with Him. And it should have a place of priority in our schedule. Don't be a desperate seeker. Or when it's convenient or in tough times, make it a regular daily habit. Maybe even put time for God on your schedule. Treat it like an appointment that you can't miss. If you do, you will reap a harvest of peace, joy, and true satisfaction. Begin to see changes in your life that will simply amaze you. Wednesday night fellowship, Michael Barbera taught on living a transformed life. And to transform means to go from one figure into an absolutely different figure, completely different figure, like a butterfly, like a cocoon, chrysalis, that's the new word, chrysalis into a butterfly. We are a new creation in Christ. We're not that old genie anymore. I'm Christ in me. That's who I am. So we are transformed by the word that we receive. When we put on God's word, we become a new creation. You won't recognize yourself. That's one thing he said. But he said, I caution you. When praying and receiving the scriptures, you may get so excited. You better make sure you have a carpet near you, because you may find yourself falling on the floor praising God. I thought that was so clever. After these songs, didn't you feel like you just wanted to cry or something? That you just so loved God and all that he did? Well, I thought it was really clever, but the next morning I got up and I had some correspondence I was reading, and the Genesis 17 was in there about Abram. So I opened my Bible and looked at Abram, and Abram was the God promised him that he would be a father of many nations, but Abram was before he became the father of many nations. And in Genesis 17, it says the Lord appeared to him at 99 years old. God's given him a mission at 99 years old. You think he could have retired by then, but you know, none of us need to ever retire. God's got something for us all the time. So at 99, God says to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. I will make a covenant between us and will multiply you exceedingly. And doesn't he make the same promise with us, that he will multiply everything exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think? Well, the next verse says, Abram fell on his face and the Lord talked with him. Now, he saw how he experienced the glory of God. You know, we can't see God. God is spirit. But either he had an angel there or the voice of God boomed and communicated with him. It doesn't say, but he heard the voice of God. And God continued to tell him that gave him a new name, Abraham, because he was the father of many nations. That even though his wife was barren, he was going to be the father of all these nations. And we were going to be a part of that. It said, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful and be your God, and the descendants after you and their generations, I will be their God Almighty. When we just love God and worship him and give him that praise and attention, he's got so much welled up to talk to us about. Can you see the advantage of a personal relationship with the Heavenly Father? You might ask, well, how do I develop a godly habit of seeking God first? Well, look at your daily schedule. You'll see the results of habits you've been over the years. You know, Monday morning, I change our bed. Wednesday, I go to the grocery store. Well, let's make sure those habits of God being a part of that every morning. Wake up, Father, what can I do for you today? We need to form a habit of putting him first in everything we do. Where do we begin? Well, challenge yourself to 5-10 minutes in the morning of just picking up the scriptures. Look at Psalms. Look at Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. You could read one proverb a day. Go through the whole book in 30 days if you want to feel like you accomplished something. But pick up the word and just open the book and start reading. He will teach you something because it's all there. As you develop a God-first lifestyle, you will see that He hears and answers your prayers. He is living and real. Proverbs 3 through 6 says, chapters 3, verse 6, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths." I would suggest finding a comfortable place in your home where there's no distractions. Bring your Bible, reading glasses if you need them, a pen and paper in a journal. Slowly read the scriptures, just slowly. Don't think, okay, I got 5 minutes, so I'm going to read 5 pages here. No, even if you have to read 3 verses in 5 minutes, that's okay, because you're putting that information into your mind. You're seeing how good God is. He's the author of it. It's all about, you know, His heart and love for us. And talk to God. Speak in tongues. Take time to just sit and think about all the people that you love and pray for them. It's all of this is developing a lifestyle of putting God first. And I challenge you, when you talk to God, allow Him to talk to you. If He's thinking about us all the time, He probably has got things to say to us, right? So take the time. In manifestations, we hear Him talking to us. Why can't He personally talk to us? He will. He does. He's a Father who wants to communicate with His children and be involved in the intimate details of each of our lives. We will never experience fear when we are strengthened with faith, hope, and love. He has fully equipped us to fight the fiery darts of the deceiver who is under our feet. We stomp down hard, knowing we have the victory. We live the Word. His love provides hope, comfort, and trust. He is fully aware of every need and want that we have, and is longing to help, to rescue, to deliver us, and to bring us back to His heart. The intimacy we can share with our Abba Father changes our lives. He wants us to seek Him, to jump boldly and confidently into His throne of grace. That's what I picture. You know, somewhere up there, He's got this throne, and we jump into it, and He's got His arms around us, and He's whispering these wonderful things of, "Child, you know how much I love you? Well, let me tell you." You know, there's the wonderful psalm, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways." Well, sometimes we need to think about that with Him. How much do I love you? Let me tell you how much I love you. Because He's telling us how much He loves us. You think He probably would love to hear. Now, when we talked to, this morning I talked to my son James. He had sent me a text saying, how are you guys doing there? Because of all the rain that San Diego has had. And I said, well, we're doing fine. It's a sunny day. And I guess he's up in the Bay Area and the storm's coming down. They've got a lot of rain right now. But he was just checking on us, so I called him. And if I would have called and said, "Hi, James," and then hung up, that would have been kind of a strange conversation, don't you think? But how many times do we do that with our Heavenly Father when we have something we want to tell Him, but we cut it short because we don't allow Him to encourage us? So allow Him to encourage you to be involved in your life. He gave us a new life, a new identity as His children with the Spirit of Christ in us. This relationship deserves our time, right? And in His presence is what? Fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. We put Him first. Every relationship that we have will be a blessing. No one's going to be hurt by your time with God. It's only going to make it even better. Making quality time with our Abba every day is what we should seek to do. Seek His fellowship daily. He loves you. So, can I get an amen for that? Amen. All right. Bless your heart. All right. I'll close with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You do love us so, so much, that You want to bless us exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, that we are Your precious children, and that there's nothing that You won't do for us. And all you ask is that we seek you, that we crave you, that we just aim our lives towards you, that we look to you in everything first, and that we can truly live the plan that you have for each one of us. I thank you that you have made us peculiar people, that you've made us your very own, and that there's nothing stopping us, that there's no fear that can hold us back, that only love keeps us moving forward towards that day when your Son returns. So until that time, I thank you that we can be living epistles of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can heal, that we can encourage, that we can help people get away from fear. I pray for healing for each one of us, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. I thank you for the joy of knowing we are in your presence, and that you are just the greatest thing that we have. I thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Jeannie.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you all for joining us this morning. Paula, you had something to share? Sure. And actually, I'm glad that you're coming up, because the one thing I forgot to announce was that Saturday, remember about Agape, whoever wants to join Bob and Jeannie and Paula, right, often at, the Old Town train station. So anyway, that was an announcement I forgot.
I loved how Rebecca shared how much we have to be thankful for the teachers, Bob and Jeannie. Come here, Jeannie. This lady is amazing. So this is my testimony. Yesterday, Bob McCall, and who's your the person that we met at Agape Outreach? What's your name again? Rohill. And Bob met Rohill at Agape Outreach. But anyway, we've had a lot of rain. But anyway, it's been a blessing, because thank you for everyone for your prayers for my grandson, Corey. Anyway, so my blessing is that my grandson said, can I go to Agape Outreach with you? Because he was with us all those days, and he's coming back again for the next storm. Praise the Lord. So anyway, he went to Agape Outreach, the grandson did. And I just wanted to say I'm so thankful. And I want to say a special thank you to Jeannie, because when she did the Children's Fellowship, he's 31 now, and when he was, what, 4 or 5? She led him into speaking into tongues. And I just know he's born again, and he's coming along. Sometimes I just, like you shared so beautiful today, be anxious for nothing. I say, is he doing better? And she gave him the Speaking in Tongues book, and he's coming along. So thanks for all your prayers, and these people are amazing.
Well, we are going to sign off with our friends on the conference call, fellowship, and Facebook. Have a wonderful week, all of us, y también para nuestros compañeros de México. So I'm going to put the microphone facing all of us here gathered, and if you can all say goodbye.
Okay.
Great teaching, Jeannie. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.
Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you very much. God bless you all. Rebecca, un abrazo. Gusto en escucharte. Have a wonderful day, all of you. Goodbye. God bless you.
Thank you, Jeannie. We love you guys.
Sure. Okay, now you can go up. Kathy Laska.
What is that smell? Is it the
tin? The wax or something
else? Yeah. I'm sure. Like, maybe I'll open up the door a little bit. Let it air out. Okay, Jeffrey, put something else up there.
Huh?
I should put something else.
You hit the top part where it says leave.
I know, I'm just going to mute it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God is the strength of my heart. Oh, God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart. My fortune forever. God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart. God is the strength of my heart and my fortune forever. Have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth I desire beside you. My heart and my strength, many times they fail.
There is one truth.
There is